conference, there was a feeling. I was down at a meeting in Harare last year and talking with various friends from across the spectrum who were feeling that it was time there was some engagement, some dialogue with the West, rather than the quite long silence between Zimbabwe and UK and Europe. And so we put an invitation to the government, Africa Confidential, having covered the issues in great detail for many years. I said, look, that we would be keen to put a meeting on under our terms, under our agenda. Mm-hmm. And they accepted, and the meeting was held yesterday.
Very impressive list, varying from ministers to members of the civic society. Can you explain your invitation list?
Yes, we had a great range of, as you say, of people from civil society, people from opposition groups, economists, respected economists. You know, so it had a format, if you like, of we had the two main figures from Harare. There was Minister Chidamasa, the Minister of Finance, and John Mangudya, the Governor of the Reserve Bank, who really, in many respects, are the two key people at this stage as they try and negotiate their way back into the international financial world.
Right.
So they were given a platform to state what it is that they are trying to achieve and trying to do and what the mechanisms would be. And then we had an array of people to question them on the process and the governance and all the other aspects around it.
And really ambitious efforts to bring this forum to fore, whereby, as you're saying, the minister and the governor could really hear from the critics, so to speak.
Yes. Well, I mean, I think the feeling is that, you know, it's you know, if we can move the agenda forward a couple of inches, we'll be very, very happy, you know. But often it's only when really severely and thoughtfully questioned on many of these issues that there may be some reflection and look at what changes are needed. So it wasn't just political. I mean, the big issue at the moment is, will they get back into World Bank IMF? Can they clear their historic default debt, which it appears they're very close to a deal on, although it's still not signed, and exactly what the term sheet would be is still the matter of some conjecture. But at the same time, there's an economy that's, you know, growing at 1.25%. It needs to be growing at probably at least 4% per annum just to keep pace with the demographics of growth and things. So, you know, and then there's a government that at the moment has its hand on almost every aspect of business rather than liberalizing and allowing the private sector to grow. So we were talking about governance, we were talking about finances, we were talking about currency, big difficulty. They use the US dollar at the moment, and it's, as Chinamasa said, it's actually become a commodity rather than a currency. Now, they then come up with the idea of some bonds, which would not be transferable, whereas the currency is just disappearing offshore straight away at the moment. It's issued at the moment. The bonds are very, very unpopular, but actually no one's yet quite come up with another alternative that would keep financial movement within the country. So, you know, they've got challenges that are complex and difficult, and no one's really got a solution. But likewise, they've got some huge change to make on all fronts, whether it's sort of within the judiciary or how to do business, etc. But I do sense that Zimbabwe really is genuinely starting to think about, you know, taking a step back into the world and engaging again. The critics would say that that's probably because China is the Chinese tap is closing rapidly. But it's a country that needs change, and you know, there are many people impoverished by years of economic decline.
I guess varying views about whether your objective was achieved or not. How would you put it? Was the conference a success in your opinion?
Well, for us, it was a question of providing a platform and developing a dialogue, and on that basis, it was very successful. In terms of the government delegation and their view. You need to speak to them in terms of what they wanted to achieve from it. There was some good, robust exchange. Very, very open, very very critical comment directly to the ministers from many in the audience.
And what's the next step from this conference? I'm assuming this is the first conference that you've had of this nature, and obviously prompted by the developments in the country. What is there a target that was set at this particular discussion? Is there a plan for a follow-up? What is the way forward?
Not at the moment. I think the, you know, Africa Confidential, we've been going since 1960. In fact, we were born over the old Rhodesian crisis in those days. That was when the newsletter first emerged. And we're a, you know, proud independent publication. We run occasional conferences. So this isn't part of any specific program. It just happens to be that this was a subject that was shall we say, particularly volatile at this time, and so we held the conference. But there's no program of a follow-on activity specific to this. We'll probably look at maybe we did Nigeria last year. We'll probably go to East Africa maybe for next year. I mean, it's that kind of cycle for us.
Of course, the Africa Confidential is very well known for its very in-depth, investigative, very deep-digging research and interviews. And, of course, you've covered Zimbabwe very extensively. From your own standpoint, this particular conversation, is it, do you think, a question of discussion now, or it's a question of action? And really, when you know the implications, of course, the fact that Zimbabwe is considered by many, or, you know, a pariah state, or the fact that it's got these international tensions with, of course, London specifically, as well as the United States and other European countries. And a lot of it is blaming on the government, that the government has failed to meet certain expectations. What role do you play in mediating that?
Well, we're a commentator. We're not a mediator as such. And you're right. I mean, for years we've been covering the issues. I think, you know, as a platform, I mean, Zimbabwe's got some very complicated days ahead of it. I mean, they've got elections in 2018. They've got the whole succession issue, which is probably the critical bit, which is very hard to discuss, because people for more than 10 years have been expecting it to be a more immediate issue than it has been. So the complete unknown within all that is complex. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you've got this point where they're about possibly to re-enter the financial world and have access to special drawing rights from the World Bank, etc. You know, how can that be guaranteed that the money will be spent in the most productive and effective way? So, you know, for us, it's a question of providing the platform for the discussion, for the debate.
You're clearly aware that there was a lot of resistance to some of the panelists, including and specifically Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa, even Governor John Magunchika. There was a group of Zimbabweans who were protesting outside Chatham House, actually questioning why this conversation was even entertained, why the finance minister was invited, and then, of course, the allegations about the abuse of and mismanagement of funds, including the $15 billion that President Mugabe mentioned in terms of disappearing revenue from the diamonds. That seemed to have usurped the outcome or the intention of your conference, would you say?
I don't think so. I think, look, I mean, the people are absolutely within their rights to demonstrate. You know, we've been there ourselves, if you like. But I think you know, the 15 billion, as you say, I mean, was raised in the conference directly. You know, the finance minister was quizzing it. I think, you know, you can either have no dialogue, or you could have critical dialogue, and I think that's what we achieved yesterday. And that's I think got to be productive in the long term. Well, I hope it can be productive in the long term. I mean, when people see what the depth of feeling is,
Some of the criticism also was that, the irony of holding this in London, which is, of course, one of Zimbabwe's biggest critics, and the fact that there are targeted sanctions imposed on Zimbabwe from there, and for the purpose of the fact that there have been some violations, human rights violations or allegations of human rights violations, electoral fraud, et cetera. Did that weigh in any way on this conversation?
I don't think so. I think London is one of the international capitals. I don't think that's a particular fact, although I take your point on the irony. But we're London based, we could have held the meeting in Harare, but I think it would have been a different flavour by the very nature of the very problems we were discussing. I think it's important to develop dialogue, but make it critical.
Right.
And I think that was our aim and our objective, and that was very much achieved.
Like you say, the
people like Tendai Biti,
yes,
the former finance minister, a stoic critic of the government. And a leading opposition member, come the next election. He was there on the platform asking the very same questions.
Right. Now, of course, as you mentioned, it could have been held in Harare. Obviously, there's a reason you wanted it held in London. Can we assume that there were also very influential members of the British government who obviously ultimately are going to make the decision of whether to reintegrate Zimbabwe into the international community? Were there any representatives from that segment?
We had a delegate from the Foreign Office, which I think would be not abnormal. I think they take a keen interest, I'm sure, in what is happening. They had to issue the visas, which is something that was an unknown factor. But I think anything much like Chatham House, any discussions, everyone's interested to hear what new moves may be coming forward, what new initiatives from the government towards rapprochement. Mm-hmm. As I say, I think there's a sense that they are keen to find ways to mend some fences and come back in from the cold.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone knows that that's a process. It's going to take them a long time to rebuild confidence.
Now, from what you know from the British side, are there still expectations on Zimbabwe? What do you think would be the thing that will now really kick off the discussion on a higher level than, say, Africa Confidential, even though, of course, you are a high level?
I think the most critical thing at the moment is this issue of the current debt. And I think everyone probably is looking to take things a step at a time. And obviously, it'll depend very much on what the engagement is that Mugabe and his team develop. At the moment, I think, from what we can see, and you just referred to the last issue of Africa Confidential, where we've covered things in great detail, the chief concern, I mean, there's some surprise, I think, that they've managed to find banks willing to lend funds to see off the historic default debt.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly what the term sheet of that will be is critical. I mean, from what we can understand, it requires some quite deep cuts in the army, in the police, in the civil service, which will not be popular back home. Are they sustainable? Are they implementable? There are a lot of issues there before they would then get to a point where they might be able to return to the table at the World Bank and draw down further funds. Now, at the bank level, they don't have the ability to condition on issues of governance. So I think at the bank level, it's all about the financial terms and default things they're in. So, again, I think there's a lot of people... when this was announced at the Africa Development Bank meeting in Lusaka 3 weeks ago, from EU, from UK, various other countries, there was some cautious optimism that this might be a slow way back. Ironically, I mean, the biggest or the loudest voice against at that point or of concern was from the United States, who were very concerned as to whether or not it would be the right way forward at this point. So I think, you know, the Zimbabwean government has got quite a lot of diplomacy that it's going to now need to invoke. I have to say that, you know, all this latest development of resolving, or hopefully they think resolving the overhang deck. I mean, that actually happened after we'd announced the conference. So I mean, it meant that the timing of the conference was actually quite interestingly useful from that perspective to discuss the issues, as opposed to it was the catalyst itself for the conference.
Two very last questions. One is, if you were to say something to, and I'm sure you've seen maybe some video, maybe you've heard about the protests outside. They literally prevented Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa from even leaving for maybe an hour. Police had to be called.
No, I heard, absolutely. Yeah.
What would you say to that particular grouping of Zimbabweans who are saying, you know, this is it's a mockery?
Well, I don't think it's a mockery. I think dialogue is very important, but I think on the same time, I don't blame them. You know, I mean, there are many human rights violations and issues that we can more than understand their their level of disdain towards those particular individuals. But I think, you know, if we try to look forward, it's only going to be by dialogue and by critical discussion that we're going to actually move forward. We're not going to move forward just by putting out the barricades on both sides.
Not that I'm channeling them or know their position, but I think what I kept hearing a lot that was resonating a lot with all of them was the fact that there was accountability issues on the part of the government that they wanted to see addressed. And they feel and they felt that by hosting Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa, Reserve Bank Governor John Magujiga, that you were kind of turning a blind eye to the reality that there is a mismanagement issue, that here there's all this money, and the irony of all this money being spent to bring all these people from Zimbabwe, yet there is a serious, serious cash crisis in the country, and that something else should have been considered as opposed to this.
Well, but I mean, I think the key point, as I was saying, governance. I mean, the accountability it was a key part of the conference. So Tendai Biti, as I say, the ex finance minister and opposition figure, he gave a keynote on that whole very specific aspect, which of course was hugely critical of the current government. So no, I mean, we had all those angles covered, and some very, very straight and direct talking. Mm-hmm. I mean, we more than had that represented. So it was tricky time for the minister in many respects. But
right.
But that's the way to move it, I think.